This election night, C-SPAN delivers something different. Not just the presidential race, but the state races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. No political pundits, no spin, no commercials. Just the candidates, the results, and you. Follow C-SPAN this election night, Tuesday, November 5th, on TV, online, or on the free C-SPAN Now video app.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
The Last Word on Today FM.
And I'm delighted that our guest now is one of the hurlers of the 21st century who's written a terrific autobiography, Whatever It Takes. Richie Hogan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
I noticed when you came into the studio taking off your coat, you're rather gingerly doing that. Do you still have the back trouble that bedeviled you for the last years of your hurling career?
Yes and no, not to the same extent, because I'm not putting the body through the same sort of rigors of elite sport anymore. So I'm not too bad. General day-to-day stuff is fine.
Are you conscious of it all the time, that there's a degree of pain in your back?
Yeah. Now, the longer the day goes on, the better it gets, but morning times now are tough, for sure. But I'm conscious of movements. I'm a very deliberate mover, in the sense that, like, if I do something wrong, or if I lift something the wrong way, and I get some form of a back spasm, which a lot of people have had, I just get them quite regularly.
And at inopportune times during your career as well.
Yeah, they certainly were. And that was a struggle for sure. Especially towards the end of my career. Whether it's, you know, sometimes it could be a day or two before a game, sometimes it's mid-game, right before a game or whatever. And I think the longer I went on, the more regular they became.
And is it hard to explain that to sort of management who want you out on the pitch to do stuff, to say, I'm not available because I'm injured, or I'm afraid to go on because my back's at me?
To be fair, they were incredibly understanding, because... And maybe the context probably helps, in the sense that we're amateur players. We're putting, they would have seen how hard I was training to try and get back. So when I say, look, lads, I can't play, they take me at my word. Because
they know how much you want to play.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it was never a sense of, it was also never a case of, I'm not fully 100%, so I don't want to chance anything. It was very much, I can't. If you put me on here, I'm going to cost you guys the game, or you're going to waste the substitute, or someone's going to have to come on for me for 20 minutes. It was more a case of that. But they were always incredibly understanding, and it built up a bit of credibility over the years for doing that. So there was never a question.
See, what the book explains to me a bit as well, with your dedication, is why you kept at it. Because I'd imagine a lot of fellas, 7 All-Irelands, and you kept playing year after year after year to go and try and win an 8th. And that's fair enough. But to do it when you're physically so battered by your sporting career probably says an awful lot about your attitude, does it?
Yeah, possibly.
And I don't say that in any negative way.
I know, yeah. I know it would be a common, certainly it would be a common feeling that top sports people want to go out on the top. And of course they do. They want to win everything. But if you're going out on top, you're leaving a little bit in the tank and you're content with what you've done. For me, it was a case of, I'll keep going till I cannot do any more. And absolutely the last 2 years in particular, where I got very limited game time through injuries especially, I was absolutely willing to do, put in all of the effort that everyone else was putting in and more. Even, and some people frame it as just to get 10 or 15 minutes. But for me, it was to get 10 or 15 minutes to contribute to win an All-Ireland or to win an All-Ireland semi-final or something, to do something incredibly special. And I just never felt that 10 or 15 minutes was beneath me, because, you know, who cares if I had won so much previously? You know, to be able to contribute for 10 or 15 minutes was an honour rather than...
Yeah. And now that you're not doing it, that you're retired, how much do you miss that?
I do miss it. Yeah, I do miss it. I've spoken to others over the years and they miss it for a period of 2 or 3 or 4 years even. I did a bit of media work this year for GA Go and others, and it kind of got me to a couple of games. And I enjoyed it for what it was, but it wasn't a replacement for playing. So I did really, really miss that. I really missed competing with other people at the highest level. And of course, you're cut off completely from people who you've spent, certainly in latter years, people who you've spent 5 or 6 days a week with. So you're cut off completely. And also, you can't even chat to them about hurling, because now you're on the outside and you don't want to be annoying them. And even if you do want to know something, you don't want to put them under pressure to be talking to you. So it was strange. Yeah. But I'm pretty content, and definitely pretty sure that I couldn't have done it for any longer.
You're prepared to take on an extraordinary workload in your life as well, because apart from dedicating yourself as an amateur almost full time to hurling, you also have done how many degrees and masters at this stage?
I've done a few. There's been a few twists and turns and career changes. So I have a degree in education, and I have a master's from DCU, and I have an MBA from Trinity.
Now, an MBA is a damn tough thing to do, and it takes an enormous amount of time in a compressed period of time as well. How did you manage that while playing hurling?
Yeah, it was a mistake for sure, trying to do it all at the same time. In my head, I was thinking, well, do you know what? I'll do it because I live in Dublin. I don't have any kids. Maybe in a few years' time, circumstances might change. So I said, do you know what? I'll just do it. And in my calendar, it fit. But I was gone out of the house at 6:30, and I wasn't back in the house on training days till 11, and on college days, it was all fit in after work. It was tough. Time wise, it was fine, but what I underestimated was energy wise. So it was just so difficult to manage your own energy system. But I got there in the end, and happy that it's behind me.
You're a tough guy, and I say that in the right sense, that you're tough enough to be able to take on all of those challenges in relation to your time and take on the challenge of your body failing you. But there's some great stories in the book as well, which I think sports fans will love. I mean, I'll particularly love, tell if you wouldn't mind, please, the story of yourself and Jackie Tyrrell in training, squaring up not long after you'd been brought into the Kilkenny squad.
Yeah, God, everybody loves this story, probably for the violence involved. Our training sessions were infamous for no whistle in training.
Anything goes.
Anything goes. First of all, because there literally was no whistle for a start, right? So calling a halt to stuff was... We've often played training sessions where there would be three people rolling around the ground fighting while the training session is just continuing. And similarly, someone would be badly injured on the pitch and the roar will get out to just get them off as quickly as possible. But the game goes on. And look, that added to the atmosphere of it for sure, but...
With this Jackie Tyrrell incident.
Yeah, well, look, I came into the Kilkenny setup, a really tight-knit group, and I would have come in as an underage, a really good underage player with, I say a reputation, but a reputation in a positive way, because I'd played on a lot of Kilkenny teams, and it was almost a sense that, you know, manners had to be put on this young fella coming in and a welcome to senior hurling. So I absolutely, and the other guys have told me this, I was targeted hugely in training sessions that, you know, this is the big leagues, if you like. And Jackie was brilliant, brilliant defender, obviously, but, you know, a good bit older than me. And that, I think that was kind of my, that was my apprenticeship, if you like, to be put in there. And we had a training camp down in Wexford. We stayed down in Seafield down there, and we were in Buffers Alley pitch, and it was a roasting hot day, and I was kind of struggling to make it a little bit. I was still young, but I was struggling to kind of fully kind of nail down my spot. And I always got the sense that the other players, they trusted me to produce the goods from a hurling point of view, but would I, if a row broke out, would I stand up to it, and would I be able to give as good as I could? So yeah, there was a Jackie pulled a stray belt, and usually I'd just, you know, wipe the blood off and off I go and concentrate on the next ball. But I just, you know, for me it was just, yeah, it has to stop here. And I got my own back for a while. And
what'd you do to him?
Well,
because Jackie's a tough man.
He is a tough man. But so the next ball came in, and I said, okay, I'm going to let him go out for this one. And he went to catch it, and I just pulled straight across his chest. And he came for me then afterwards, and I just went for him again. And we rolled around on the ground for a couple of minutes as the game continued. And that kind of continued for the rest of the training camp.
And then did this follow in, like, afterwards, when you went to the dressing room, you're fine with each other?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way it has to be, isn't it?
That's the way it is. There would never be a sense. We would laugh about it. You wouldn't be happy on the pitch, but you would laugh about it afterwards, for sure, because that was part of it. It was part of, you know, training your body and training your mind to be prepared for something that you probably won't come across on the pitch. So it was hugely valuable.
The other thing which really struck me, that you weren't fearful on the pitch, but you weren't fearful off it either, because you were prepared to stand your ground with Brian Cody. And Brian Cody, by all accounts, is a sort of a very intimidating presence, isn't he?
He is, for sure, yeah. Brian is an absolute icon of Kilkenny hurling. He's an icon of the GAA, and he has such a strong presence. But for me, it was very much a case of, I just had a very simple mindset, in the sense that if I believed in something and I communicated it, and if it was taken on board, great. If it wasn't taken on board, that was also fine, you know. But I was the kind of person who, I couldn't go into a game if I felt I had something to contribute by saying something or by doing something, and then having not done that, wake up the following morning and be like, oh geez, I wish I said this, or I wish I did that, or I wish I pointed something out. So a lot of players absolutely would have been of the same mindset. I just told a couple of the stories that I was involved in, for sure. And,
well, I'm going to paraphrase, because I loved one example in which you were having a row with him, and you said you would do anything to win. But the problem with him was that he had to win his way.
Yeah, I probably regretted saying that, but at the time that felt true. That's just one example of loads of examples. There was, like, I was on the Kilkenny senior panel for 17 years, and what I tried to do in the book was give people an idea of what a high performance environment actually is like. It's not everybody being nice to each other all of the time, and, you know, two or three guys make a decision and everybody goes with it. It's very much everybody has to play their part. And if you believe in something, it doesn't matter if it's your teammate you're talking to, somebody from the county board, someone from the management. It was always a very tense environment, for sure. And it didn't matter what the environment was like. The only thing that mattered was it effective or not? And for years for us, it was very effective.
I'm going to have to leave it there. The book is terrific. There's some fantastic sports books this year. We had Joe Canning in recently, Johnny Sexton. There's a Conor Nyland book on tennis. It's a hell of a year for sports books, but this is absolutely brilliant. And Fintan O'Toole, the other Fintan O'Toole, has done a great job with you in writing it. It's called Whatever It Takes. And even as a Corkman, I have to say, it's a terrific read. Richie Hogan, congratulations on it.
Thanks very much, Matt.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.